As part of programming for the Yarmouth and Barnesville Libraries program, Celebrating Diversity, African American STEM Leaders, for Vacation Week of February 15th through February 19th, 2021, I would like to read a few biographical sketches from the book Little Legends, Exceptional Men in Black History, written by Vashti Harrison. The first biography is Charles Henry Turner, 1867 to 1923, zoologist, educator. As a boy, Charles loved bugs. He would spend his days either outside, observing insects and animals, or indoors, reading from his parents' massive library. His mother had been enslaved and instilled in her son the belief that education would lead to a better life. Charles graduated from high school as his class valedictorian and studied biology in college. At the University of Cincinnati, he published studies on birds' brains and invertebrates, becoming the first African-American to publish in Science and the Journal of Animal Behavior. Later, he was the first Black person to get a PhD in zoology at the University of Chicago. Throughout his career, Charles struggled, likely because of his race, to find steady work at a college or university where he could conduct his research. He committed himself to fighting for civil rights and advocating for Black students to have a good education. He even dreamed of starting his own school for Black children. While he never did, he eventually settled in St. Louis and taught at the historic Black Summer High School. Even though Charles didn't have access to the expensive tools and state-of-the-art laboratories that other scientists had, he still developed research methods to make many amazing discoveries about insects. He conducted experiments and determined that bees can see in color. By building mazes, he observed that cockroaches and caterpillars learn by trial and error. He found that ants use light and landmarks to navigate. And he showed that insects have memories and they alter their behavior based on what they remember. Charles also was the first to notice that ants walk around their nest before entering. This action was later named Turner's circling in his honor. By the end of his life, he had published more than 70 research papers and changed the way people viewed insects. Charles valued hard work and knowledge. A pioneer of comparative research, he led by example and forever broadened our understanding of different behaviors in nature. The next one, Garrett Morgan, 1877 to 1963, inventor. Garrett was always interested in how things worked. He had no schooling past grade school, but he didn't let that hold him back. By the age of 14, he had worked as a handyman, and by 18, he had taught himself enough to get jobs at sewing machine companies around Cleveland. In 1901, Garrett sold his first invention, a part for a sewing machine, and a few years later, he was able to open up his own shop. He soon became a successful businessman and inventor. In 1914, Garrett filed a patent for his next invention. After witnessing a fire, he noticed that the firefighters combated the blazes with no protection over their eyes or face. He thought that a mask could shield the men and keep them from inhaling smoke. He devised a safety hood that covered the face using a hose to access fresh air from below. Many people were reluctant to buy inventions made by a Black man, so he often hired white actors to conduct demonstrations so customers would give his creations a chance. Eventually, his business grew, and fire departments in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York were using his hood. Garrett wasn't just an inventor and businessman, though. He was also a hero. After a tunnel explosion in 1916, Garrett, using his safety hood, rushed in to pull out workers. He saved two lives. In 1923, he filed a patent for his next invention. At the time, automobiles were on the rise and were sharing the road with horse-drawn carriages, bicycles, and pedestrians. Traffic signals, went from stop to go with no notice, and it was dangerous. After Garrett witnessed a terrible crash, he had an idea for a warning signal. This was a precursor to the red, yellow, and green signals used today. Garrett paid attention to the world around him and looked for opportunities everywhere. He proved that inventing wasn't just about coming up with new ideas, but could also be about improving upon existing ideas, helping people, and making the world a safer place. Charles R. Drew, 1904 to 1950, a surgeon. Although he was a bright student, Charles didn't have perfect grades or always know exactly what he wanted. Two experiences got him interested in medicine: an injury on the football field and his sister's tuberculosis. Afterward, he became passionate about medicine and understanding how the body worked. He went to Montreal to study at the McGill University Faculty of Medicine. The Canadian school had a better reputation than most in the United States for its treatment of minority students. He graduated second in his class of 137. During his surgical residency, working with bacteriologist John Beatty, Charles became interested in transfusion medicine, the transference of blood and blood products. Through his research, Charles found that if you separate the blood from the plasma, the liquid portion of the blood without the blood cells, it could last much longer, making it possible for blood to be stored. It could be preserved and shipped overseas, even taken out onto the battlefield. In 1940, after Britain was attacked by Nazi Germany, Charles was asked to lead a special medical effort called Blood for Britain. Months before the United States entered World War II, Charles became assistant director of a new national blood banking system for the American Red Cross. They collected more than 10,000 pints of blood for the war effort. The military, however, decreed that blood taken from African American donors had to be segregated from whites' blood and couldn't be transfused into them. Blood has no racial characteristics, so Charles knew this was wrong, both scientifically and morally. He spoke up, and in 1941, he resigned from his job. He returned to his former employer, Howard University, and became chief of surgery at its Freedman's Hospital. He spent the next 9 years mentoring students and advocating for the education and inclusion of African Americans in medicine. Charles' discoveries were responsible for countless lives being saved and transformed the medical field forever. He was a pioneer who took a stand for what was right. And our final biographical sketch is Leland Melvin. He was born in 1964. Astronaut. Leland didn't grow up wanting to be an astronaut. He watched the moon landing on TV with his family, but didn't see anyone who looked like him, so he never even considered wanting that for himself. He did grow up wanting to be like Arthur Ashe, the star athlete who had trained 5 blocks from where Leland grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. Around the time he started playing sports, he got his first chemistry set and accidentally burned a hole in the carpet. He was amazed at how powerful chemicals could become once they were mixed. While on a football scholarship at the University of Richmond, Leland majored in chemistry. His classmates couldn't believe he was both an academic and an athlete. After graduation, he was drafted into the National Football League, the NFL. Unfortunately, he damaged a hamstring in training camp. It could have been the end of Leland's dreams, but his other love, science, was calling. Leland got a job at NASA Langley Research Center while earning his master's degree at the University of Virginia. At Langley, a friend suggested that he apply to become an astronaut. He was accepted on his first try. Being a candidate didn't mean he automatically got to go to space, though. He went into training, and again he was injured. He was in the neutral buoyancy lab, a big pool of water meant to simulate the feeling of space, when he suffered ear damage that left him partially deaf and unfit for spaceflight. This didn't make him any less of an astronaut. For several years, he worked at the Johnson Space Center in Houston and visited schools to talk about NASA. After some healing, he learned he had been reapproved for flight. In 2008, on the space shuttle Atlantis, he flew into space on the 24th mission to the International Space Station. Through football, Leland learned perseverance and teamwork. And through his career as a scientist and astronaut, he learned patience and adaptability. In his life, he found that no plan is fixed, but that hard work and dedication allowed him to reach new heights. There we are. Little Legends, Exceptional Men in Black History, written by Vashti Harrison.